This was the story that the...
The guy said he didn't hear it?
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't hear what she was saying. What else could you say in a time like that?
But your mother did.
She heard it. Everybody else in church heard it.
And this was Ida...
Ida Brown. She lived this down here. There was a picture of Clarence Brown and his family here.
Yeah, yeah.
It was her brother. It was a big family and not too well to do. They tell a lot of stories about Wilson Brown. He raised quite a big family, and I've heard him tell too that he was not known as a good provider nor a provident man. I guess is the way they called it back in those days. And her family was quite well to. Well, was a very respectable family out in Waitsfield. And how she ever mixed up with him, heavens only knows, but perhaps he was different when he was younger. Sometimes the true colors don't show through. But anyhow, he was a very, very pious man. An Advent, I presume. And he went off to one of the camp meetings. And there wasn't much food left in the house, but he went off anyway. And he said, M, the Lord will provide. And he went. Well, the family thought they'd get rid of that old scoundrel. They'd bring out some feed for their sister and her children. Well, he was gone, they wouldn't have to feed him. Well, he came back just as they were sitting down to meal. He came back earlier than they had expected. He came in and there, all the food was just, "See, Emma, I told you the Lord would provide."
She probably never lived that one down. Oh, dear.
He was one of the first ones to get a telephone. It was Andrew Bell, I think it was, from Northfield that... put the first telephone line over the mountain and here, and they had the central station was at McLaughlin's. I think it probably was on the corner. It might have been, it was McLaughlin lived on both corners, so I don't know which was which. But anyhow, they put a line up to Brown, and he couldn't recognize his own ring, because back in those days you had a separate ring for each number. So every time that the telephone rang, he'd get up and answer, "Hello, this is Brown. You want Browns?" And I heard Orrin Lovett say that the telephone rang several times. "Won't get Brown time to eat his dinner." This was Orrin Lovett. I heard him make that statement. He said, "Won't get Brown time to eat his dinner."
"Won't get Brown time to eat his dinner."
Telephone was ringing different rings. But
and he'd pick up every single time.
Well, more often than it was his own, I guess. But they tell too that back in those days, people came around selling phonographs. They were the new thing. Well, Brown bought himself a phonograph and a few records, and he was enjoying immensely. He thought it'd be nice if he could share it with the rest of the world. So he gets his telephone or he gets his phonograph right up and puts the horn right up next to the microphone or
telephone.
Yep. And took his receiver down so that he was on the line. Well, he ran it most all afternoon, and finally, Andrews, he called up the central and he said, "Will somebody go up and get that damn fool off the telephone?"
Oh, dear. Yeah, there was
must
have been some funny things that went on.
I pass these on because I get a big kick out of hearing
them,
and maybe sometime somebody else will.
Well, it's the humor that's lost, too, I think. Books don't tend to carry on the humor as well as the spoken word.
No.
And the expressions. That's one of the things I've been noticing with Earl. He was full of expressions.
Yeah, he was. That was a... He was actually a great speaker.
Now, was Lauren as good as he was? Did he have that knack?
it wasn't cultivated to the extent. Of course, Earl was, Lawrence stayed at home and looked after the farm more until his latter years. Earl got out earlier and he delighted in entertaining the public. Betty, you'll see her sometime.
I will.
Get her stories.
Yes, I want
She got me into this.
Don't worry. I told her after the first of the year, she's top of my list.
She can tell a good story too if you can get her at it.
I'm sure she's
a little shy about coming forward with it.
How much younger was she than Ruth?
8 years, I think.
8 years, so quite a bit younger.
I think Ruth was born 1911. She was born in 1919, first day of September. He always tells me I'm much older than she is. I was born in May.
4 months? 5 months? Depends. Well, did you know Lauren at all, or did
oh, yes.
you ever see him? Or?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, we were neighbors, and we became very close as particularly after my mother died.
Because he got married when he was about 40, I guess.
Yeah, he married, Thelma Neal, who ran the store, it was her husband, was Gertrude's son. He and Gertrude were married 1928, I think it was. At that time, Albert was 18, 20, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they ran the farm up on Cider Hill. And later they sold the farm and moved down, and Albert and Thelma ran the store.
Yeah, Earl wasn't too complimentary about Lauren's wife.
A little jealousy there, perhaps. Lauren stayed on the farm and enjoyed the favor of the parents. And
mm-hmm.
Earl left and went on his own.
Yeah.
There was another brother.
Claren,
yeah.
And he totally left, didn't he? He was down in Windsor or somewhere like that?
Yeah, he traveled about southern New England.
What did he do? Earl never mentioned him much at all. He talked quite a bit about Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren was a great ox man,
yeah.
I gather.
But he stayed home on the farm and enjoyed the benefits of the farm. I guess he bought out the farm, but Earl took care of his parents in the latter years.
Yeah,
which I think that probably was where some of the jealousy and where the feeling toward Gertrude came in.
Well, that was because his father didn't like Gertrude, I think.
Well,
according to Earl.
There comes a time when anybody who takes his son away from has got to have a darn good reason.
Well, you know, it was interesting reading Earl's account of his getting married. And, you know, his parents weren't very nice about it. He went off and got married and brought his wife back, and it was a little sticky there.
I think Earl, after he was married, came back home and stayed for time, but things didn't go smoothly. Earl's mother was a very strong person.
Sounded that way.
She was, there again, she was the community midwife.
That's right, yeah.
As we would say it today. When somebody was sick, she would go and take care of him, and they tell me she was extremely good.
Yeah. Well, Earl probably got some of his horse remedies from...
He got those from his father, but I don't know how it... But course, I would brag. They were both very clever people.
It sounds like they were. Now, did you know both of them pretty well growing up as a kid, or did you keep your distance, or?
Well, I kept my distance as was necessary, particularly when everybody was alive. I never spoke to Herbert once.
Is that right? And she was aware of everything?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, there's no question. To blame for part of it.
Yeah.
But they had a, I don't know, an anniversary for, it might have been the 25th anniversary for Earl and Kate, and it might have been some anniversary for them. I don't remember. But I do remember going through the receiving line. The devil made me do it. He got a big chuckle out of it. She was pretty stiff.
He sounds like a pretty good guy.
Well, again, I'm prejudiced, but I think so too.
Yeah, no, from everything Earl says. Well, they were good people.
Oh, yes. There was two or three other brothers in Alan's family, I believe.
Brothers of Lodger.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think there were, Earl said five.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten who they all were.
There was one lived down, well, in on the Cardell place, I guess. He had a son that was killed with a load of logs. There was a road that goes from what we call the Cardell place, or Ann Burns Road, went down and comes out on Route 100, falls a brook down.
Oh, I know where that is, yes.
And they were, probably see it on the map. But
in fact, I've seen a truck in the river there, I think. Doesn't it come down across the brook?
Not. I don't think that you would have seen a truck there. There's a road come down. It actually went to the Cardell place,
mm-hmm.
and it followed the brook down. Well, he went off the bridge, and a load of logs came onto him and killed him.
Jeez.
Which was
with horses or
was it? Yeah, with horses. Yeah, this was. I don't remember it. I've heard my uncle tell about it. I don't remember the fellow's name, but it was one of the brother's sons, I think. And there was another brother lived down in Hosey lived down in Cranville. On the hill, but that road went actually from, it isn't very far from there down to the main road.
Yeah.
Comes out to, well, right across from Warren Falls, actually, one of the famous Warren Falls. You must have heard about that.
Just a little. Tell me about the famous Warren Falls.
That's almost as famous as the Huntington Gorge.
For swimming in.
Mm-hmm. I got into a ruckus with the Valley Reporter. They were reporting about the conditions swimming, places to swim in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
I called up and said, look, we don't need this publicity. Enough people go there anyway. And it is off limits. We have barred people from going in there because of the safety factor. And the lady working in the office, she agrees. She worked on the ambulance, and she'd been up there to pick up two or three people.
Jeez.
So
yeah, you always see cars parked along there,
yeah.
In the summertime,
mm-hmm.
where people go in.
Tremendous swimming hole if you like to take chances. Well, it only gets one out of 1,000, probably.
You're awful. You send some of your friends there?
Well, some I might be tempted to.
That's right. Oh,
all depending on what they've done to me. As I said, if it was friends like that, it's easy to love your enemies. I don't know if I've got anything more here that relates to what you're... Here's some clippings. I don't know if they refer to anything that might... Goldie Taylor was an older lady that I had. Those were some my aunt cut out.
Oh, these are 1913.
And that was back about the days of her living here in town and enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
And she got the greatest kick out of reading those. Here's Ella Duvall. She died 106.
Oh my gosh. So she lived another 2 or 3 years.
That was the account of her funeral. There's Clarence Hartshorne's obituary. If these things are not of interest to you, don't let me... The restaurant now. This has
what?
Well, here's some more of the same.
Mostly weddings and deaths, huh? And events.
Well, those are the only important things that happen.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll tell you this yarn I told before. It's a man's world, or it's a woman's world. Child is born. The first question, how's the mother? As years go on, he marries, and the only comment, what a beautiful bride. And when he dies, how much did he leave the widow?
Oh, Lord. So your mother was a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Did she teach for a long time?
Only for a couple of years,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, 1905 here, so.
There's some pictures she took. That's how he, my uncle, and my grandfather, has a picture of East Warren Church. You were talking about Parker and Slayton Mill. Here's his horses.
Ooh.
That's taken up on what's now the school common.
And these were all people that worked for Parker and Slayton?
They were the Parker's. They were the Parker's teams.
Gosh. Wow.
Well, I guess I started to tell you one time I wandered off, as I often do. That's this old fellow down the Waitsfield that ran the trucking business, and they used to, those aren't of any. That's the East Warren School when my son was going to school.
That's a great photograph.
There's Mrs. Cino, one of the.
Oh, is she the one that was the great shot? No.
Yeah.
Yes?
No. I'm waiting for no, no.
The one that Earl was talking about, Ruth.
Ruth, yes, she's her. Ruth was her husband's aunt. That's
the
same picture I want before.
Is nice.
It seems that this Cy Smith had a truck house.
He had a what?
Had a trucking business or teaming business. He'd get his help out in the morning, 4 o'clock or so, and feed the horses and have breakfast, and let the horses have a chance to eat while they were eating. And they'd be try to be on the road by. Those are some recent pictures. Those are aerial photos of the place here.
Oh, the farm.
That's Warren Schoolhouse as it was back a long time ago. And he hired this man to drive horses for him. They went through that process for a couple of weeks. He'd get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and feed his horses. Sometimes he didn't get in until 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And after a little while, he went to Mr. Smith. He said, Mr. Smith, it has nothing to do with it, but it's Gene Thayer. That's the son of the Thayer that Mary Thayer. And he went to Mr. Smith and he said, Mr. Smith, I can't work for you anymore. You haven't done as you agreed. By mighty, why haven't I done as I agreed? He said, well, when you, there's a picture of my great-grandfather. I said, when I came here to work for you, you promised me steady work. It's been 2-3 hours every night, did everything you do. There's another blow up of Warren Village.
This is a wonderful photograph. This is your great-grandfather?
Yeah.
James
S. Blair.
James S. Blair. When do you suppose that was taken? Because he must have been born. Now, if your grandfather was born in 1839, this guy must have been born in 1810,
maybe? Yeah. At the latest.
He's a wonderful-looking guy, isn't he?
He died.
Look at his hands. He died when? Do you remember him?
No. He died in the late 1800s, I think. He bought a place, you'll see on the map, S. Blair, and James S. Blair, and James Blair, they lived side by side. He and his wife bought a piece of land or farm, a house near to my grandfather. And he didn't live but a year or two after he bought it.
And he came from Bolton, you tell me?
Yeah, Richmond. I think it was his father that I said came down from
Canada,
married, raised a family. There's a picture of the grist mill, which was the other building we saw in that picture looking under the bridge. Here's an old couple Shattuck, living in Warren Village, no real. Oh, there's another picture of my grandmother.
Now, were you pretty close to your grandmother?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. I was 10 years old, and she died. So, and I lived right here with her.
Did she tell you stories?
Yeah. There was something that I think you ought to talk to Marlene Dufresne. She has a tremendous memory of things. She grew up in Peacham, I think it was, at Groton.
Mm-hmm.
Down to us. There was my grandmother's father. Yes, yeah. So it's a picture of my uncle here.
Marlene Dufresne.
Marlene Dufresne.
She's where?
She lived just out here in East Warren. Or she used to build a new house over on Dufresne Farm. She and David just built a new house. And I know she came down with her husband to select men's meeting, came down to pick him up or something, and we were just closing up, and I said, "I know, but the moonlight's almost midnight. Time picking up was home an hour and a half ago." And that was an old story that my grandmother told.
Say that slower.
I know by the moonlight it's almost midnight. Time Pig and I were home an hour and a half ago. And that was part of a little verse, a little ditty, and it goes on like a house that Jack built.
Uh-huh.
And I thought nothing more about it. I didn't know the rest of it anyway. And she went on and told me all the whole story on that. And now, my grandmother grew up in Bolton or Richmond, and she grew up in Groton. Those had to be some stories that were brought from England or Scotland or Ireland or wherever they came from.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that.
In fact, Scotland, there's a lot of Scotch settled over in Groton.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that...
so and she knows the whole thing.
She knows the whole thing.
As her grandmother told her?
Probably.
Isn't that amazing?
But... comes kind of a shock to me.
Yeah. Well, she... Is she elderly, or how old is she? I mean, is she...
Oh, no, she's young. She isn't more than 60.
Pushing 60.
Well, she's pulling it a little bit. Right?
Oh, dear.
However, she has a host of things like that. I can remember my grandmother telling me this story. Now, I suspect this is before television. I'm not sure it had a lot. It was a lot better than television. I'd be crazy about some of their stories, particularly lately. this fellow was courting the girl Suki. This picture overlooking Warren. Here's another one. And he went to court, went to see this girl one night, and